This is an interview with William J. Mulahy, better known as Bill, who organized the Waikiki Beach Patrol in 1934 and later was with Pan American World Airways for many years. He has been a member of the Outrigger Canoe Club since 1921. This interview is being conducted on May 6, 1980, at the home of Ken Pratt, 4817 Aukai Avenue. The interviewer is Ken Pratt, representing the Outrigger Canoe Club Oral History Committee. Bill, before we start talking about the Outrigger Canoe Club, could you tell us something about yourself?
Ken, I was brought to Honolulu as a baby. I was born in San Francisco, 1909, and my father worked for the Commercial Pacific Cable Company, and he was transferred to Honolulu in 1910, and then the cable came ashore at where I later grew up and learned swimming at Sanssouci, which is next to the old Outrigger, or to the present-day Outrigger location. As a boarder at St. Louis, I started swimming quite a number of times during the week in Honolulu Harbor, and I joined the Hilani Boat Club, and at that time the Hilani Boat Club was next to the Myrtle Boat Club down at Pier 5 or 6, and I rode with Hilani on the kid crew for a couple of years, and then I rode for Hilani on the intermediate crew for another couple of years, and that was more or less the reason that I later in 1928, when I graduated from St. Louis, I moved to New York to stay with my uncles in New York on Long Island, and I rode for Columbia for 4 years.
Yeah, it's interesting. So you got your training down in the Honolulu Harbor.
Right.
Great.
The rowing at Columbia was interesting because we rowed in an 8-oar shell instead of the 6-oar barges that were then the vogue in Honolulu. And it was... We rode up at Poughkeepsie, which was upriver from New York, and Columbia's crews trained at Baker Field, which is just at the northern end of Manhattan Island.
Oh, yes. Do you recall any local guys that you competed against, say at Yale or Harvard or...
No, although we rode against the Navy down on the Severn, and rode against Yale and Harvard up on the Housatonic, and against Princeton in their area near Philadelphia, but I don't remember any specific Hawaiian people that were on those crews.
Now, I understand you operated a beach patrol of some sort at Jones Beach. How did you get involved in this?
Well, about 1928, the state park system, Long Island State Park System, started a lifeguard service at Valley Stream State Park, and they brought in an ex-sea captain, an old German sea captain named William Johns, Captain Johns, and he was told to organize a lifeguard group, which he did, and I was one of the early recruits because of my Hawaiian background and Honolulu swimming, and there were 12 of us initially in Jones Beach when we transferred from the beach patrol at Valley Stream. Jones Beach opened to the public in 1929, but before the public opening, they brought in a lifeguard group to try and keep the employees who were building Jones Beach from drowning, and we had about 3 miles of beach to patrol, and there were 12 of us, and it was very interesting because there were only the construction employees that were involved. The public didn't come into Jones Beach until the next year.
Did you have any facilities for entertaining them, like canoes or nothing like Waikiki Beach? This was more life-saving, wasn't it?
Yes. The Jones Beach Patrol was strictly lifeguarding, and we had towers every 300 yards along the ocean front out towards Fire Island on Jones Beach, and in between we usually arranged four guards to the lifeguard tower, and two sat on the tower all the time, and two patrolled, one on either side of the tower. And when there was somebody in trouble, then we blew the whistle, and usually two tower or eight guards went to the rescue. And we had the quarter-inch manila line reels of about 400 feet long, and we used some balsa wood floats, or they were torpedo shaped, and one man would swim out with the balsa wood float to the victim, hand the balsa wood float to him so that he could have something to hold on to, and then another guard would swim out with the line, which took a little longer because it dragged in the water, and then the rest of the guards would pull the entire group in, the victim, the man with the float, and the man with the line, until he got into shallow enough water so that he could be lifted onto the beach.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Now, Bill, what type of transportation did you first use when you graduated from St. Louis and went to the mainland?
Ken went on the Matson line, which was the usual mode of transportation between Hawaii and the West Coast, and then the American President line also operated through Hawaii to the Far East. And I remember my first trip away from Honolulu was on the old Matsonia, which was then the pride of the Matson fleet, and it took 6 days from Honolulu to San Francisco. Then I usually either rode in the bus cross country, or hitched, or on one or two occasions I rode the rails on the trains on the Southern Pacific, and It was a kind of a catch-as-catch-can hitch, and thumbed my way across the country to go to school in New York.
That's terrific. Now, on the Matsonia, did you have a ball?
Well, usually I worked my way so that I was pretty busy. Later on, I got, besides an AB ticket, I also got a lifeboat ticket. And I believe it was in 1929 or 30, the SS Morro Castle went aground off Atlantic City. And there was considerable amount of loss of life because the crew on the ship didn't know how to man the lifeboats. So the shipping people laid great stress on having a lifeboat ticket. And I had a lifeboat ticket, which was easy to get. I went down to the Coast Guard office in New York Harbor, and with my familiarity with canoes and boats, it wasn't a great deal difficult to get a lifeboat ticket. And the lifeboat ticket then was kind of a passport back to Honolulu, because I went through the canal twice on president boats, and it was easy to get a job from Jersey City to Honolulu because I had a lifeboat ticket. And the crews were required at that time to have 60% of the crew were required to have a lifeboat ticket. And as the bulk of the usual passenger ships were commissary people, they didn't normally have a high percentage of lifeboat tickets. So it was like a free passport back home.
Yeah, that's great. Do you recall what it would have cost you to go back in the Matsonia if you'd had to pay?
Yes, I think that the price was around about $125.
Yeah, yeah, that's
one
right.
Way.
And what would one of the early Pan American trips cost you, say in the early 30s, if you happen to go?
I think that the first fares were $280 one way from San Francisco to Honolulu.
Yeah. Now it's switched around considerably.
Yes, it's been going up and down. It's been down as low as 120, and I guess now it may be 250.
Right. Now you're training at Jones Beach and running the operation there. Probably put you in good stead for your first job in Honolulu after coming back from college, didn't it?
Yes. I was 5 years or 5 summers at Jones Beach. I would go to school during the winter and then summers work at Jones Beach. And I became captain of the guards at Jones Beach after 3 years. And Captain Johns took a year's seminar and went to Tahiti, and I became captain of the guards. And at that time, we had about 125 life catches. And besides the 3 miles of beach we patrolled, there was about 2.5 miles of bay frontage that had to be patrolled in Zacks Bay, which was sort of a lagoon inboard of the ocean beach.
Oh, yes. So when did your opportunity come to get into the Waikiki Beach Patrol operation?
Well, when I returned from college in 1934, I came home and went back to the outrigger And it was like coming home. I used to walk up to a group of club members, and they were still talking about the same thing that they'd been talking about in 1928 before I went away. And so there was nothing really changed. And while I was, when I came